All right, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. We will be in Colossians chapter 1 today. This is based on a message that I preached a couple of Sunday nights ago and thought I would rework it a little bit for the podcast so it's not as long and tedious, I guess, is the word that I would use there. Although my messages typically aren't tedious, but nonetheless, I thought I would just share a little bit from that particular message for the podcast, and I pray it's a blessing to you. One of the reasons why I started the podcast was to be able to minister to the folks that can't always make it into church, and I wanted to try to capture some of the messages that I preached at the church, kind of rework them a little bit to put on the podcast so they're not 45 minutes long. I realize people and their time is, you know, it's kind of a tough thing, you know, redeem the time. It's kind of hard to do that when you're listening to hours and hours of podcasts, unless you're driving and you've got, you know, a good distance to go to get to work or school or wherever you're going. So anyway, we're in Colossians chapter 1, and I want to begin in verse number 3 here and talk about some things, but I want you to kind of take note as you follow along of the positive things that Paul says to the church at Colossae. So beginning in verse number 3, the Bible says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." And so there were several things here that Paul mentions that I would consider positive things regarding this church. Number one, he talked about faith. So every child of God, regardless of what stage they're at in their walk with the Lord, should have an element of faith. And it should be increasing as the years go on. Number two, there should be a love to all the saints. There are no exceptions to this. There should be a love to all the saints, period. Paul talked about this a lot in his epistles, and the strength of the church rests in its unity. If there is discord in the church, then the church is rendered basically powerless, ineffective. And so the strength of the church is found in its love towards one another. The third thing is their hope and confidence. Hope in Christ, hope in the promises of Christ, hope in the Word of God. Their confidence also follows, obviously, confidence in Christ to make good on His promises to them, confidence in the Word of God, and so forth. So that hope and confidence translates, as it states here, fruit. It brings forth fruit. So as you increase in these areas, the fruit will increase as well. And of course, that is also evidence of the new birth as far as Christians are concerned, because it will be some type of fruit. Now, I'm not going to get into all the nitty-gritty details, because some people want to argue tooth and nail about fruit, what kind of fruit, how much fruit. Look, every born-again child of God is going to show some evidence, some fruit of regeneration. So it's going to vary, and there's going to be a lot of factors that are going to, you know, come into play, a person's background, education, and what have you. It's all going to play a role in the fruit that they display after they've been born again. But nonetheless, there will be fruit. Now, lastly, they had knowledge of the grace of God. So all these things were in place. These are positive things Paul's talking about here. These are all things or evidences that should be found in every believer. Without exception, there should be these things. Now, it might vary. You know, there might be one person might have more knowledge of the grace of God than another person, might have a better understanding of it than another person. As far as hope and confidence is concerned, look, I'm 26 years saved, and my confidence and hope continues to grow. It grows stronger and stronger as I continue to serve the Lord. And I know the same can be said for many of you. Obviously, your love to the saints and so on. But Paul's words here in verse number 10 seem to indicate that there are areas where the church at Colossae could stand to grow. And the same holds true for the children of God. We should never come to a place in our walk where we think we have arrived. You know, that I think is a dangerous thing, or a dangerous place to be for Christians today. They get saved, they go to church, they do this thing every Sunday, they read their Bible for 15 minutes a day, whatever. They do all these chores or things, and it becomes a perfunctory thing, actually, or habit in their life, but there's no growth beyond that. And the child of God should be striving to get better, to improve in a number of different areas. I'm not going to cover all of them in this podcast, but there are several here in verse number 10 that I wanted to talk about. And he says, verse number 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So three things we want to talk about here. Number one, growing in our walk. He says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Paul had this thing about walk worthy, because he mentions this in several places in his epistles. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1, he says that we are to walk worthy of our vocation. And what is our vocation? Well, first and foremost, we're Christians. And then as you add the gifts to that, pastor, teacher, evangelist, missionary, what have you, we're to walk worthy of our vocation. So there are certain standards, if you will, for pastors and Christians in general, and we should walk worthy of those things. That's the same thing we expect of those in the secular world. We expect a police officer to walk worthy of his vocation. We expect a fireman to walk worthy of his vocation. We expect a doctor to walk worthy of their vocation. And why should the Christian be treated any differently? We're expected to walk worthy. Walk worthy of the gospel, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Walk worthy of the saints, Romans 16, verse number 2. Walk worthy of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 12. But notice also in verse number 10, he says, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So in other words, we need to be thinking, how are we pleasing God? Are we pleasing God in this particular course of action, in this labor? Is what we do on a day-to-day basis pleasing to God? Is what we do in a workplace pleasing to God? Is what we do in the home pleasing to God? Is what we do in our social circles pleasing to God? And we have to train our minds and our hearts to think like that. And once we do, then some of the things that we may allow into our lives when we're not in church will soon be taken out of our lives as we seek more to please God. Now, he also says that we are to be fruitful in every good work. And I'm going to quote a reference to you that gives a different perspective on this than I've heard. And it goes like this, and I quote, "It is fruitful in every good work, that is, in the process of doing the work and not merely as the result or outcome of it. The very work itself is intended to be fruitful apart from particular results. There may be very few results of our service for God, but the service itself may and should be fruitful. We get all caught up in the results. We think the results are the actual fruit, when in reality, what this person is saying is that the very work itself is the fruit." And so I hope that helps to get some of your attention off of the results-orientated type philosophy that seems to be prevalent in many ministries today. If you don't have 1,000 members in your church, then, you know, you're lost and you're doing something out of the will of God. Not necessarily. The man that's preaching faithfully to a church of 10 or 15 people, that's fruitful work. The missionary that's in the missions field, laboring year after year after year, and no converts and no baptisms and no attendees to church services, and then, you know what, he's faithful in the work. If that's what God's called him to do and he's faithful to it, that's fruitful. You know, eventually, and somebody gets saved and gets right, and then the ministry begins to grow from there. Our increase in the work is needful because it brings God glory. The ministry brings God glory. Again, it's being faithful that brings the glory to God. The other stuff he does on his own accord. You know, we can plant a seed, we can water, but it's God that gives the increase. It's God that adds to the church daily as such that should be saved. Ours is to be faithful in the work. And then if we're faithful in the work, that helps to edify the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. And then we see, lastly, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, you know, we obviously ought to know God. If you're saved, one would assume that you know God. But what is your knowledge of God? And what is that knowledge based on? What I see happening a lot of today is people in church circles are basing their knowledge of God on what the secular world says concerning God. And I've heard this time and again, well, God is love. God would never judge anybody to hell. You know, this, that, and everything. So people in a church, because maybe there's a lack of teaching in the church on God. Maybe the saints themselves are not reading the Bible. Maybe they're not praying. Maybe they're not serving. Maybe they're not in church as much as they ought to be. And so they're getting their information from the wrong source. They're getting their information from the lost people in the world. Their hearts are corrupt. Their minds are corrupt. And so why would you want to take your information concerning God, the creator of the universe, why would you want to take their information as truth as it relates to God? And so herein, I think, is a good reason why that we ought to grow in our knowledge of God. And there are three areas that I cover here. Number one, we ought to grow in our knowledge of his will. Now, let me ask you this. What will we know of the will of God if we didn't read the Bible? What will we know of the will of God if we didn't go to church? What will we know of the will of God if we didn't pray or if we didn't serve? You see, I run into this every now and then. People want to know what the will of God is, but they don't go to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't pray, they don't serve. Well, how can you expect to know the will of God if you're not engaged in the activities that God has called you to do at the grace level? You can't. You know, sometimes people will ask me, say, well, I just don't know the will of God for my life, and I want to know, can you help? And this is what I tell people, do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. If what you know to do is hand out gospel tracts and talk to people about the Lord, then do that. If what you know to do is to be faithful and go to church and to help out the Sunday school teacher and teach a Sunday school class every now and then do that. If what you know to do is to go in a support role to a nursing home ministry or a jail ministry or even in the mission field, then do that. If that's what you know to do, then do it. And wait and watch as God opens doors for you. We should have knowledge of wisdom. Knowledge of wisdom. Wisdom of God. And we should be praying for that. The Bible says in James, if we lack wisdom, and we all do, we should ask God who gives it liberally. And then lastly, we should grow in our understanding of things. I've heard this time and again. Well, I've read the Bible. I'm all set. Well, I go to church once a week. I'm all set. How can you say with a straight face that you understand all things in the Bible after reading it only once? How can you say you understand all things that are going on in the world, in the church, things temporal, things eternal, when you only go to church one service a week? How can you say that? You can't. How can you say you've arrived and you understand all things if you're not studying out the scriptures? It's impossible. We increase in our understanding of things as we increase in our disciplines as far as Christianity is concerned. Our prayer life, our service to God, our faithfulness to church, our faithfulness to ministry, our faithfulness to the Word of God, studying, meditating, reading the Word of God, and allowing the Word of God to take root in our hearts. And of course, that brings forth fruit. That fruit is service. That fruit is wisdom, knowledge, things concerning God. Look, it's a dangerous place to be when you think that you are in a place in your walk where you've arrived and you don't need any more information, you don't need any more knowledge, you don't need anybody telling you what to do. I've heard people say, I don't need to listen to the preacher up there preaching and telling me what to do. That's the preacher's job. His job, his responsibility is to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And the Bible says even further in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The challenge before us today is to increase in these areas, to increase in our knowledge of spiritual things, to grow in our walk with God, and also to grow in our fruit, or being fruitful in every good work, remembering that all that we do should be well-pleasing unto the Lord. All right, take care, and may the Lord bless you.